How are you today?
Yeah, hi. This is Mark again.
Hi, Mark. We got you here with, you want to introduce yourself to everyone listening right now? You've got your microphone on.
I'm Dean Veenhoff.
Dean Veenhoff is here with Mark Stein from Minnesota Public Radio, and they're going to have a little interview for us, so if you guys want to go ahead and take that away.
Okay. Good morning, Dean. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, well, you need to put a pair of headphones on. Sorry about that. Otherwise, you're not going to hear him. Okay, can you hear him now?
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Let me get on the microphone here with you. Just hold on a second. I got to put my headphones on myself. Here we go. All right. Okay, can you hear me, Dean?
I can.
Okay. Well, if you could start with, give me your name and where you live at now, and maybe what you're doing now with your life.
My name is Dean Veenhoff. I'm a retired school teacher, athletic administrator. I live in Gilbertsville, New York, which is about 15 miles outside of Oneonta. I'm presently driving a charter coach all over the country.
And you told me that when tomorrow you're heading out for
We're heading for Glens Falls for our Public High School Athletic Association state tournament.
And so you still obviously follow basketball. You're still involved with it.
Oh yeah.
Well, let's go back to your high school days. Tell me about growing up. Did you live in Edgerton, or were you on a farm? And just tell me a little bit about those high school days.
I was a farm boy. We had a farm about 5.5 miles outside of town, and chores were always waiting for me in the morning and in the evening after practice. So, yeah, I had a normal childhood, I guess.
What kind of farm was it? Some dairy cows or not?
Yeah, we had a little bit of everything. We had cows, we had pigs, we had chickens, we had crops. I mean, field work.
When did you start playing basketball?
I can't remember. As young as I could probably hang on to a ball.
You just kind of always liked it, or did it run in your family?
No, not really. But well. Yeah, my cousins and everyone. I mean, it was just a way of life. Everybody played basketball.
When you got to the 1959-1960 season, I'm guessing you guys did well the previous year. I think you lost in the district finals. So I mean, obviously you had a pretty good team coming back.
Yeah, I started since I was a freshman and. Our other guard, Daryl, he started as a sophomore. So yeah, we had an excellent nucleus coming back. Yeah, we lost a couple of seniors, but for the most part, we were all back.
And you and Daryl Kroon and the others, how long did your playing together go? I mean, your pickup games and you're just shooting the ball together.
Well, we started playing as fourth grade. I can remember we started playing as fourth graders. We would go and play other fourth grade teams in our area and. It just, you know, from fifth and sixth, and then seventh and eighth, and then on to JV and varsity.
Did you play year round?
Oh yeah, yeah. Every summer, we couldn't wait for baseball practice to be over so we could get on the court and shoot baskets.
And when you shot, I mean, was it just a lot of shooting around, or did you usually have a short scrimmage or play horse, or what did you do?
Well, mostly it was shooting around, but. Our sophomore and junior years, we had a regular every night 3-on-3. It was Daryl and Leroy and myself against Verduce and Wiarda and Rich Olson.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. How good was Rich Olson?
He was an excellent player. He could shoot the eyes out of the bucket.
That give you a little inspiration, too, I suppose, although, I mean, you guys were very good shooters by this time.
He and Daryl used to play horse, and I'm telling you, they would go, they would go 70, 80, 90 shots without missing. It was just phenomenal to watch them play.
And, I mean, I'm sure this is a question you've been asked a lot, but then when the season started, 59-60, you know, you knew you had a good team, and did you think that manifested itself? Did you play with a lot of confidence? Did you play with a certain amount of maturity?
I don't think we really thought about it. We were just glad to be playing. We had a coach who knew what he was doing, and we never thought about district or sectional or state championships. We just played game from game to game to game.
During that season, before the tournament run started, I went through the scores through the game by game, and really did not look like you had any real, what I would call a serious challenge. I mean, but the final score could be deceptive sometimes. Maybe it was closer at times than what I thought, but were there any real challenges to you during the regular season?
Yeah, if I remember right, Hills gave us a real battle. I think we beat them only by 4 points at their place, but then when they came to our place, we beat them pretty good.
Right, yeah, I think I remember seeing that score now. And then when you got into the playoff, I know Pipestone was thought to be a pretty good challenge, but I think you took care of them pretty handily.
Well, not handily, no. We were down 9-0 to start off, and then we came back, and we and ended up, I guess, lucky to win.
When the tournament run started, you won the district crown, and that was kind of in your home area yet. I mean, you played a lot of teams you had played during the season, but, you know, maybe some others, but it was still basically Southwest Minnesota. Did the atmosphere change at all when you got to the regional level?
I don't think so. Not as far as we were concerned. We were just playing each game as it came. We didn't really, we really didn't have an idea of what we were doing or, you know, what kind of remembrance it would be. It was just, we played each game as it came.
Was there anything at the regional level where, maybe some of the bigger schools were making fun a little bit of Edgerton because you were such a small school?
Oh, I think so. I think you should, if you talk to some of those Mankato people, I think they thought that they had won the game before they even took the court.
How did that show itself? Did they have signs, or did they yell things, or what?
No, not that I remember. They were used to being there. They were the reigning people of Region 2, and I think they were just used to be there and took us for granted.
Did they take any shots at you, though, the fans? I mean, call you farm kids or anything?
No, not that I remember. I don't know. We tuned all of that out. We were just there to play ball. We didn't listen really to the crowds.
So then you get to the state tournament, same kind of thing, that you were, tuning things out. They're to play the game even though you're in front of, 18,000-19,000 people?
Pretty much, yeah. We didn't really let the crowd bother us until the last game. Then when Austin came out, it was a rain of boos, which kind of, I guess we heard during warm-ups, but once the game started, it was basketball as usual.
Now, I heard about the rain of boos, and then the people I've talked to, it sounds like also in the Richfield game there was some of that.
I understand that, yeah. I can't remember that, but I do remember the Austin situation, but I don't remember much about that Richfield.
Do you remember Bill Davis playing, what kind of player was he?
He was a pretty good player. Yeah, he was a good player. He's a big, strong kid.
Was it fairly physical with him?
I think we tried to make it physical, but if you remember right, I think if you look back, I fouled out probably in the third quarter. I can't remember, but it was a battle.
Right, and then you went to the overtime and. You were on the bench, and the other big guy, Verduce, was on the bench.
Right.
And that must have been some kind of nervous times.
Well, it came down to free throw shooting contests there, and as soon as they put us on the line, we knew we were in good shape.
Do you remember what were the tactics there? I mean, did you get a small lead and they had to follow you, or were they just following because it was a tough game?
I don't think we had the lead. I think they were up by 3 up until the last minute or so, and then for some reason they fouled. I can't remember exactly, but they fouled, and Once we sent Daryl and Leroy to the line, it was all over.
You know, if so, then you moved to the championship game, and I mean, you said against Austin. What kind of game was that? What kind of remembrances did you have of that?
They thought they had it all figured out. They were going to leave Leroy open. He was the other guard, and he hadn't scored much all through the tournament, and in fact, he hadn't scored much all through the year. And he hit about three or four shots right at the beginning that made them come out of that defense, and then they played it straight up, and they couldn't stay with us straight up.
That was an important moment when the guard hit those shots. I'm guessing did the coach kind of say, you know, Leroy, if you're open, go ahead and shoot?
Oh yeah, he always did. He never put any restrictions on us. It just before he never had an opportunity or didn't have to shoot. You know, that was Daryl's job and that was my job. He didn't have to worry about it. But once he was so wide open and they were sagging back into the middle and not letting Daryl get his shots off, he was open and he bagged them.
You know, now when Edgerton won the 1960 Minnesota State Basketball Championship, you know, it's. Well, it's going to be celebrated next week of the 50th anniversary of that, and it's quite a sports story in Minnesota. You know, you've told me that for that tournament run, really for the whole season, you were taking it one game at a time and not really considering it in that light. But was there any point when you felt the state kind of came over to Edgerton's side and, you know, now we're pulling for the Cinderella team?
I think through the whole state tournament, once we got to Minneapolis, I think that the majority of the state, you know, it was a Cinderella-type situation. It was a small school against all the big schools, and I think then is when we really got the backing of the whole state.
But against Chisholm, I mean, they were kind of a small school, too.
Yes, they were, yeah.
Yeah. But you had this added thing, too. You were undefeated.
Well, I think that, in retrospect, that probably put a little bit of pressure on us, but we really didn't think about it.
Was going to the big city kind of exciting, or again, was that just kind of a sideshow to the basketball?
It was,
you know,
it was all exciting, but Rich kept it all pretty much into perspective. He didn't let us get too out of line. He didn't let us celebrate too much. You know, it was. We were there for a purpose, and he made sure that we understood that.
Have you ever seen the movie Hoosiers with Gene Hackman?
Many times.
What do you think of that movie?
I envy that. It could have been us.
It's basically the same story, isn't it?
You bet. It sure is.
I mean, they had some drama devices in there, the kid who, you know, joined the team and all that after, well, you know, refusing to play for a while, of course. I mean, that
I'm not
but
sure. I'm not sure if that's in historic or embellishment, you know what I mean? It's good for the movie.
Exactly. But, you know, when Gene Hackman's in the auditorium when they hit the state tournament, he measures the basket and says, this is 10 feet, just like back in our gym, you know, back home. Was there any moment like that where your coach told you, hey, we're in the big city, there's going to be 18,000-19,000 people watching us, but, it's still just basketball?
Oh, yeah, yeah. When we went to that Wednesday practice, we had a 45-minute Wednesday practice at Williams Arena. And once you're on that court and you look at all that seating, all the bigness of it, it's a little overwhelming, yeah.
But did the coach say anything to calm you down?
Not really. No, we were there. We did our thing. We did our practice. We did our walkthrough, and that was that.
You know, if you look back now, I mean, you've been around basketball all your life. If you look back on Dean Veenhoff, the high school basketball player, how would you analyze him?
He was probably more finesse than bulk than power. He was a good shooter, a lousy defensive player, and really didn't have any concept of what was going on at the time.
But was that a good thing?
In retrospect, probably not. If I had probably had a little more experience and a little, a little bit more foresight, I would have made some other decisions than I made after the tournament was over.
Right, but I mean on the basketball court.
No.
Your judgment seemed pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. We were all pretty much natural. I mean we had worked at it for so long that it really came naturally. It was all instinct rather than thinking about it.
So, but I mean you probably still had plays that the coach put in and things like that?
Oh, certainly. You bet.
Right.
Both on the offensive and defensive end.
You know, your gym back in Edgerton, what kind of gymnasium was it where you played your home games?
It was small. The top of the key intersected with the center jump circle. You had to curl your toes up to stand out of bounds because there wasn't any room on the out of bounds. We played with that 3-foot dotted restraining lane, you know, that so many small schools at that time had.
So was it the one the type where the stage was connected with the auditorium?
Yeah, yeah. We had permanent seating bleachers on one side and then the stage on the other. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that gym still there, or they tore it?
No,
it's still there.
Yeah,
okay.
It's still there. Yeah.
Interesting. So you're coming back to Minnesota for the 50th anniversary of your state championship. What kind of thoughts are you having about that? What kind of emotions?
We're psyched. We're fired up. We're really looking forward to it. I think after that last December when we had that book signing in Edgerton where we all got together and Verduce planted the seed, and he's been the one that's done most of the work on this whole reunion business. But after that, we're all really fired up and really anxious and looking to have a real good time.
And it looks like the Austin team is going to be there as well?
That's what I understand. That'll be nice.
Yes, yes. You know, in some ways, I mean, it was such a wonderful thing to win that state championship. You know, then you go on to your lives, and I suppose maybe it fades a little bit, maybe not, but then it comes back strong toward the end of your life and toward the end of the, you know, the 50-year period. That's a long time. You know, was it ever a burden, do you think, or has it always just been just a great thing that you're constantly reminded, I guess, of the state championship?
You know, for me, it's always been a great thing because I've been out in New York State, and in New York State, they've never heard of Edgerton, they've never heard of me, and they could care less about what I did in high school, so it really hasn't been a burden. I mean, no one here knows anything about it, and I think it's probably been good.
Do you ever get reminded, though, of it traveling around? Or, I mean, you hear these stories all the time about Edgerton 1960, and people just seem to light up, the Minnesotans at least, but sometimes around the country, too.
Constantly reminded, yeah. It's been kind of fun when I'm driving charter buses. In fact, one day, I guess it was last year, 2 years ago, I was down at Liberty Park in New Jersey, and there was a couple of buses from Lake Crystal, Minnesota. So naturally, I have to stop and talk to them. And once they find out, well, you're from Edgerton. Oh, basketball, huh? So, yeah, it's a concert. Anytime you meet someone from the Midwest or from Minnesota, they remember it.
Right. And just wanted to kind of wrap up here. I mean, the Edgerton victory is, well, I got, as it's laid out for me, I haven't really done the research, but I believe Edgerton was the smallest school to win the state championship in Minnesota?
I believe so, yeah. There are several schools smaller that had made it but never won it.
Right. And, of course, Sherburne won the championship, a decade later, and they were, but still even, they were just a little bit bigger than Edgerton, not all that much bigger, but it still seems like that Edgerton victory is the one that stands out. Any idea why that is?
I have no idea. No. I've often thought of that, why that is, why this has stood out so, because... Yeah, other school, like you say, Sherburne. Sherburne won the last state tournament of one class system in Minnesota. You would think that would be remembered, but no, I have no idea.
Okay, well, that should do it. Unless there was any other thoughts that you wanted to to put in there. You know, just let me ask you one other thing. I picked this up from some of the press clippings I saw. I'm just wondering if you remember this. You know, you fouled out in the Richfield game, and then you were quoted as saying, in the Austin game, I will not foul out, or, you know, that I'm going to be more careful. Do you remember that and maybe what you did to make sure you did not foul out?
No, I've read that, too, and I don't remember saying that.
Right, okay. We'll just leave that one alone then.
There you go.
Okay. All right, well, unless there was anything else you wanted to add, I think that should do it pretty much.
All right, thank you.
Well, it was great talking to you. I appreciate it.
When is this? Right. When is this going to be aired?
We're planning it probably next Friday. You know, the day 26th, somewhere in there.
Great.
But it should be on our website too, so okay. You can check it out there.
Wonderful.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You bet.